chapter 4. Very familiar account, 2 Kings chapter 4. We'll read the first 7 verses. And there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my 2 sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, What shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, Thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. And he said, Go, borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels. Borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, and shall shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, Bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, There is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God. And he said, Go sell the oil, pay thy debt, and live thou and thy children of the rest. This, of course, takes place in the ministry of Elisha, who ministered in the northern kingdom of Israel. It's the account of a miracle in the life of a widow woman. Many read such accounts as this in the Old Testament and really fail to grasp the message of these accounts, and it's very important that we keep in mind that the Old Testament message is really the essence of the New Testament message. And the Old Testament message simply presents truth in the form of a picture, and often referred to as stories. And if we look at the Old Testament through New Testament lenses or New Testament eyes, we find the truth to be very clear, and we're able to gather much useful and valuable instruction. These accounts comfort us, encourage us, rebuke us, challenge us. And what is before us here is a very thrilling account of how God miraculously blesses this widow woman. It tells how God brought her above and beyond what we read there in verses 1 and 2. I want to speak tonight on experiencing God's more. Experiencing God's more. God, of course, has more. We can experience that. That can be our everyday experience. First of all, just consider what we've just read. It involves a certain woman. She's a widow of one of the sons of the prophets, who were the students under Elijah and Elisha. Now, of course, widows in the Bible are very prevalent, and they usually focus upon need. They are a picture of need. Now, we're told several things about this woman. She, of course, had experienced a great loss. Her husband is dead. She, no doubt, is heartbroken and grieved over the death of her husband. She also is in great need. She has 2 sons to care for. She has no husband. She has no money. She has no food. She has no source of income. She has no prospects for improvement. She was faced with disaster, faced with the unimaginable that her two sons would be taken from her. So the creditor comes. He demands repayment. No doubt debt that her husband had incurred. So he demands repayment. She, of course, is hard-pressed. The house is bare. If the creditor were to go in the house and look around, there's nothing in that house that is of any value to him. But then he sees her two sons and basically says, I'll take them. I'll take them. In other words, if you do not pay your debt by such and such a date, I will take your two sons, which he could do under Old Testament law, and I will use them as slaves for myself, or I will sell them as slaves. So death has already taken her husband, and now she's in danger of losing her children. So this woman's need, of course, is very urgent. There was death, there was debt, there was an apparent future of slavery for her sons. She's running out of time. She has no real options. She has no resources. This is a very dire and desperate situation. We read in verse 1, now there cried a woman, and you skip some words, unto Elisha. In crying unto Elisha, she was seeking God's help. She was seeking God's will. The woman then received instruction from Elisha. We see that in verses 3 and 4. And as you read on, you see that she obviously obeys the instruction. And having borrowed the empty vessel, she pours the oil. She has one pot of oil. She takes that pot, she pours into the vessel. Sons pass her another vessel. She pours into that vessel. And when there was no vessels left, the oil stayed. In other words, it ceased to flow. As a result of this, we see verse 7, pay thy debt, live thou and thy children of the rest. So she had received, she was the recipient of a marvelous and miraculous blessing. God has brought her out of what we read in verse 2. And she receives an abundance over what she had. And we learn from this count that God has more. God can. God can. That's always so. God has what we need, and God can. Now, there's much revealed in this account concerning the Christian life, concerning experiencing God's fullness. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 19 that it pleased the Father that in Him, that is in Christ, should all fullness dwell. Still dwells there today. Colossians 2 verse 9, for in Him, that is Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead. That tells us what we're speaking of, a fullness, the fullness of God. And it dwells in Him bodily, that is Christ in a body form. So there is a fullness of God in Jesus Christ. And that fullness is far-reaching. That fullness is all-inclusive. There is a fullness in all. Now the very word fullness has reference to something that's real. Fullness has to refer to something real. So what we're talking about is real. And it is indescribable, and it is incomprehensible. But whatever your situation, there is a fullness of the Godhead in Jesus Christ. God has more, and we can experience it. We can live our life experiencing it. That brings us to our second point, and that is, how do we experience God's fullness? How do we experience God's more? And I'm not just talking about every now and then. I'm talking about on a consistent basis. How is this experience ours consistently? Well, first of all, this widow woman realized her situation and her need. And most people think that that's very simple. Well, everybody realizes their situation. Everybody realizes their need. No, they don't. In fact, very few realize their real situation and their real need. But we hear her words here in verse 1. My husband is dead. That was real to her. She goes on to say, and the creditor has come. That also is real. To take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. To be bondmen. And in verse 2, Elisha asks her a question. What hast thou in the house? She says, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house except, save, one pot of oil. So in those words, verses 1 and 2, she recognizes that she has a great problem. She recognizes that she has a great need. But she also recognizes that in and of herself, she does not have the remedy for her situation. In other words, this is something beyond her. This is something beyond her resources. Again, hear her as she speaks. My husband is dead. The creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. I have not anything in the house except one pot of oil. These are the words of someone who is overwhelmed. These are the words of someone who is under tremendous pressure, can feel the weight of the pressure. They're words of anguish. They're words of distress. They're words that speak of chaos and turmoil. There's tremendous sorrow in these words. There's great disappointment in these words. There's much fear in these words. The creditor has come and he's going to take my children. And there's much anxiety in these words. But she realized that she was in need. She realized that she had a need and she realized what the need was. Again, the point now is, how do we experience God's fullness? We must recognize our need. Many individuals are like the Church of Laodicea. We have need of nothing. And they actually believe there's times in their lives where, you know, everything's so good, I don't need anything. We're always in need. There's never a time when we're not in need. And then what did she do? She went to Elisha, which again, she was seeking the Lord through Elisha. So we could say that she went to the Lord. We see here, she cried unto Elisha. Why did she do that? I don't believe she cried unto Elisha because she believed that Elisha would give her money. I believe she cried unto Elisha because she believed that he was the spokesman for God and that he would instruct her as to what God would have her to do. So again, she is, in reality, she is seeking God's help. She is seeking God's will. We must realize that we have a need. We must seek God's help. We must be consumed in knowing God's will. Now, in doing this, she knew that God had what she so desperately needed. She knows she has a need, and she knows that God has what she needs. She realizes that there was a fullness in God, that in Him was, again, everything she needed. She knew that she was in an impossible situation, a situation that she could not fix. Her life is broken. Her life is shattered, and she knows only God can help me. She knows that she needed a miracle. She not only knows she needs a miracle, she wants a miracle. And that is why she cries unto Elisha. But not only did she know she needed a miracle, not only did she want a miracle, she was searching for a miracle, and therefore she sought the Lord. It's one thing to know that, yes, I have a need, and yes, I need God to work a miracle in my life, but you have to advance past that. Do you really want a miracle, and are you going to seek the one who can perform the miracle? And that's where many, of course, fail. She knew that God was able. She knew that. She knew that God had everything she needed. She knew that God could provide whatever it was that she owed the creditor. She knew that God was able. Though the house was bare, and though the only thing she had was a pot of oil, and though her situation was impossible to the human mind, she knew this has no bearing upon God. This has no bearing upon who God is. This has no bearing upon the ability of God. This has no bearing upon the resources of God. Knowing that, where does she go? She goes to the Lord. She seeks the Lord through Elisha. Again, the point is right now how to experience God's fullness. You have to know you have a need. You have to realize that the need is beyond yourself. And you have to realize that God is able. God has the resources that I need. The third thing she does is she obeys the instruction of God. In verse 3 and 4, then he said, go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out unto all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Now there's a few things here. First of all, she listened to the instruction of Elisha. She listened. But she did more than listen. She received the instruction. And though the instruction makes no sense to human reason, she did not get bogged down. She did not get stuck in questioning God and how this is going to work. How is one pot of oil going to fill a bunch of empty vessels? Explain to me, God, how it's going to work. You don't need to know. All you need to know is God said it will happen. That's all you need to know. She didn't get bogged down with questions. She wasn't trying to figure out the instruction of God. And though she did not understand how one pot of oil could fill multiple vessels, She believed. She believed that God was able to do what He said. So believing, what did she do? She obeyed. She followed the instruction. People don't follow the instruction because they think they know better. They don't follow the instruction of God because they don't believe. She believed. And she followed the instruction. Now, in order to follow that instruction, she would have to lay aside human reasoning. She would have to lay aside all pride, going to the neighbors, and simply surrender to God's way. That's what she would have to do. And that's what she did. Again, the point is how to experience the fullness of God. You have to obey the instruction. You have to hear it. You have to receive it. You have to believe it. You have to obey it. Obey God's instruction. But I want to notice some things concerning this instruction. Notice the emphasis of the instruction. Verse 3, empty vessels, empty vessels. Go abroad of all thy neighbors, borrow empty vessels. Not a few. That is, you get as many as you can. Don't be satisfied with three or four. Empty vessels, not a few. Verse 4, we see, shut the door upon thee and thy sons. Empty vessels, many of them. When you get home with those empty vessels, shut the door. Shut the door. Now that's significant. And then we see also in verse 4, set aside that which is full. Set aside that which is full. So let's look at these things. Because it tells us how we can experience God's fullness on a consistent basis. First of all, the woman would gather empty vessels. The lesson there, of course, is emptiness. Emptiness. We don't know how many vessels she was able to gather. There would be vessels of various shapes, vessels of various sizes. But as she looked at each one of those vessels, they're all empty. So she's reminded, emptiness, emptiness, emptiness. It is important that we realize that the answer to this woman's dilemma does not begin with fullness, it begins with emptiness. It's not about what she has. It's about those empty vessels. And this is where spiritual work and the world part ways. And many never learn this valuable lesson. If you apply for a job, what do? You put together a resume. That resume is going to list your accomplishments. It's going to list your qualifications. It's going to list your education, your training, your experience, etc. Why? To try to convince or to impress the one who may hire you that you are qualified for whatever position you're applying for. That's how it works in the world. Not so spiritually. That's not how it works spiritually. Now, if you were to go into a place of business and you had no resume and they said, well, what kind of experience you have? I have none. I'm empty. You know, and Well, you're not going to get hired. You're not going to get hired. But spiritually, it's different. One of the prerequisites of serving the Lord is to be empty. To be empty. Recognizing total inadequacy. Total inadequacy to do any spiritual work. Again, this is where the spiritual and the world part ways. Sadly, many never get it. They think they're qualified in some way to do spiritual work, but we're empty. The emphasis is emptiness. Now notice in our text these empty vessels. Verse 4, we read the words, those vessels. What vessels? Empty vessels. Verse 5, the vessels. Empty vessels. Verse 6, bring me yet a vessel. Another empty vessel. And he said, there is not a vessel. All of these are empty vessels. What is of great importance in experiencing God's fullness is that we be empty. I mean, it's common sense. If these jugs and vessels were filled with all kinds of stuff, you couldn't pour oil in. They had to be empty. And so it is with you and I spiritually. And when they ran out of empty vessels, what happened? The oil stayed. The oil stopped flowing. It does not say that the oil stayed because she became tired of pouring. That wasn't the issue. The oil stayed when they ran out of empty vessels. The oil ceased to flow when the emptiness ceased. There is not a vessel more, and the oil stayed. As long as there was an empty vessel, there was a steady flow of that oil. There was a steady flow of God's abundance. And oh, how we need to realize the importance of emptiness. Need to be emptied. Need to be emptied of sin. Emptied of self. Emptied of self-will. Self-righteousness. Self-goodness. Need to be empty of pride. And vanity. In our own ideas, in our own ways. Why? Because God fills empty vessels. That's what God fills. Empty vessels. And that's a big problem today. There are very, very, very few who come into the house of God that's not full, saturated with the world. Or with themselves, or with life in general. God fills empty vessels. Emptiness is prerequisite to receiving. And when we need to be empty all the time. We need to be empty when we come into the house of God, so that we can receive what the Lord has. But if we come in and our hearts are crammed full with everything else, it's like, Lord, wherever you can find room, just put in a little bit. It doesn't work that way. God fills empty vessels. And we live in a time when people are getting more and more and more full of humanism and the world, and then they, well, I'm not being fed, or I'm not this, I'm not that. God fills empty vessels. That's a fact. Secondly, empty vessels borrow not a few. Borrow not a few. In other words, ma'am, you are to expect a great overflow from God. And you have to prepare for that. Expect it, prepare for it. People don't expect the blessings of God. Therefore, they don't prepare for the blessings of God. Borrow not a few. Expect God to fill these vessels. Get as many as you can. Prepare. Make preparation for the blessings of the Lord. Then we notice that phrase, shut the door upon thee. Get alone. Get alone with God. Shut the door. Shut the world out. Shut yourself in. And you experience God's overflow. You experience the fullness of the Lord. But then notice also, once these vessels were full, every time she filled a vessel, she was to set it aside. Notice what it says in verse 5. Thou shalt set aside that which is full. That which is full. That which is full was empty. It was empty. But now it's full. And it's to be set aside. That is, it's not a common vessel. It's special. It's special. There's nothing common about this vessel anymore. You just set it aside. Set it aside. God's blessings are not common. They're not ordinary. A transformation has taken place. That which is full, it was empty. So a transformation has taken place. But where does transformation take place? Again, emptiness. That's the key. Then notice her experience. She would fill an empty vessel, and her pot of oil was no less full. Can you imagine? Her pot might have been that big. We don't know. First vessel she fills might be this big. And she just kept pouring and just kept coming and coming. And she looked at that pot of oil and still the same oil. And she would call her sons by name and say, pass me another empty vessel. Start the process all over. It's now full. Pot of oil. Of His fullness have we all received. And He's no less full. That's miraculous. You can't even explain it. So she continued until she ran out of empty vessels. And when she ran out of emptiness, the oil stopped flowing. But all the joy, the thankfulness, the praise that filled her heart as she kept pouring and pouring. And when she sold the oil and received money for that oil, all the joy that filled her heart and praise. And then when the creditor came and knocked on her door, and I'm sure the creditor was fully prepared to take her sons, but she had the money. And all the joy that was hers when she was able to pay the creditor. And then from that day forward, every time she looked upon her sons, who she thought were going to be sold into slavery, every time she looked upon her sons, she would thank God for the miracle God had performed in her life. And we read in verse 7 that live thou and thy children of the rest. And every time she would go out and buy something, she would be reminded of this, how God filled emptiness. She was blessed. She was blessed abundantly. We need to know that there is more spiritually. We talk about this often. There is more. No matter where we are, in our spiritual condition, you might be as close to God as you've ever been, and that's wonderful. But you can be closer. There's more. You might have as much faith as you've ever had in your entire life, and that's great. That's good. But there's more faith. There's more to be had. There's more peace. There's more strength. And on it goes. There's always more spiritually. But the question is, how do we get it? God fills empty vessels. We need to empty ourselves every single day. Need to just empty ourselves. And that could be a process, because I'm here to tell you, there's people that have been filling their hearts with junk for decades. That's a lot to get rid of. That's a lot to get rid of. But God fills empty vessels. God will bless. We need to be empty. Again, Christ is our example. He emptied himself, Philippians chapter 2. Need to be empty. So that teaches us something about the Christian life. We can experience God's fullness every day. But we have to empty ourselves. People today, they come into the house of God and they have everything on their mind but what they should. God fills empty vessels. Have to be empty. And it's a process that we do over and over and over throughout the day. Because you just drive your car down the road, your heart begins to fill up with nonsense, junk. We have to empty. But I'm here to tell you, it's easier to empty as soon as something comes in, empty it out, than build it up for 10 years and then try and empty it. God fills empty vessels. There's also a lesson here in closing, to the unsaved. Your situation, if you're unsaved, is like this widow woman, except to a greater and more urgent degree. Your situation is one of death, but it's, again, death to a greater degree, spiritual death. Your situation is one of debt. But we're not talking monetary debt. We're talking about a sin debt that you cannot pay, that there's not enough money in the world to pay. And there is a bondage, and there is bankruptcy. And the creditor is coming. The creditor is coming. And time is running out. You need a Redeemer who is able to do what you cannot do. And what does God do when He saves a soul? He empties them. He empties them. They become empty. There's nothing I can do to save myself. Completely empty. As long as you think that religion might save you, or you might get by in this or that, that's not emptiness, and you'll hold on to that. But once God brings you to the point where you realize, I have nothing. I have nothing to offer God for my soul. I'm empty. Then, of course, God causes us to cry out. And God fills that empty vessel with salvation, with the joy of salvation. But the main point we want to get across tonight is that God fills empty vessels. God fills empty vessels. We pray, I mean I, every time, without fail, before I get up to preach, I pray, Lord, please empty me of myself. Empty me of myself. Does it always happen? No. Sometimes those are just words. But I realize that we have to be empty in order to receive on a consistent basis the blessings of God. And the blessings of God far outweigh anything that you fill your heart with in this life. Emptiness is worth it because God fills empty vessels. Brother Jim, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.